Thank you, Father God. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, there's a lot of things you've been showing me, and it's so exciting. It's so exciting where we can go, Lord. It's so exciting the hope and vision that you want to give people, Lord, about yourself, about you, Jesus, about what you accomplished on our behalf, and the appropriation of those things personally within our lives. So I'm asking that you assist me, speak through me, change what you want changed, do what you want to do this morning, Lord. We ask, Lord God, for open hearts. I ask for open heart to hear from you. My brothers and sisters ask for an open heart to receive from you also, Lord God. We want to hear what you individually and will tailor speak to each heart. So we put ourselves before you. Speak, Lord, for we are listening. Do, Lord, only what you can do in us. And we, by faith, Lord God, say yes and receive the engrafted word which is able to save our souls so that we might be a life to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start out this morning by a picture, a vision that I got in intercessory prayer this morning. It may be for some of you here, or it may be for those that you will speak to. Would you agree that there are a lot of disillusioned people within the world today? And I got this picture of, or this word of disillusionment, that they're a spirit of disillusionment. There is, as you know, when I say spirit, it's coming from the unseen realm, and sometimes people don't even understand this feeling that comes upon them. And for the Christian, I want to speak specifically to the Christian right now. I saw a picture like a person in the desert that sees an oasis, that sees a mirage, I should say, a mirage, an oasis, a mirage that's an oasis. And as they get closer to it and begin reaching out for it, it disappears. And I was, you know, pondering in my heart, Lord, what is that you're trying to show me? What is that you're revealing to me right now? And it was like a lot of my people, a lot of my children know my promises. And as they begin moving toward those promises, because they only know them, with disillusionment, they reach out to grab it, and it disappears like sand of the desert within their hands. They know, and then all of a sudden, life's experience begins reaffirming that. Something comes in and hits you this way. Something comes in and hits you that way. The spirit of disillusionment is to get you to get off your stand on God's word and God's promises. And the enemy loves to confirm disillusionment, so you begin thinking like that. So your thoughts begin, well, I know what that promise says, but maybe it's not for me. You go from a maybe that it's not for me. And that's exactly where the enemy would like people to be. In a place of, I know what it says, but you keep it quiet with inside yourself. And as you reach, it's just sand. Well, remember what it says about sand. Remember the two foundations that Jesus spoke about in both Matthew, I believe it's chapter 7, and Luke chapter 6. It talks about a person who just hears the word only. Is like a person who has their foundation of sand. So when pressure comes, when the storms of life happen, when things begin to rise and you're squeezed, you know what the promise says, and it just becomes sand. In other words, the house is destroyed because it was built on sand as the foundation. And sand represents to those who hear the word only. But Jesus said a person needs to build their house on the rock. And he defines what that rock is, to hear the word of God and to receive the word of God as your own, refusing to let go no matter what gets introduced into your life. And he said that when the pressures come, when the storms of life comes, when you feel like you're being overwhelmed, the truth that you have received rises up and says, this is what I believe, and so shall that house stand. Because it was founded on the rock. In other words, it was founded on the word of God that was taught, the word of God that was heard, the word of God that was received, and you have personally made it your own, and you refuse to let it go no matter what you face in life. So God is either, if you are that person this morning, that God spoke that to you, but you will be running across people with this spirit of disillusionment, and God wants to use you to minister a word into their lives. So just be open this week to those that God puts across your path to minister a word of life to them. Amen? But make sure that they get it. Ask them about it. If it's a... I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We know that one, right? I can do all things through Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A person wakes up in the morning. Oh, here we go again. Got to go back to the same old grind today. Got to face the same old stuff today. All of a sudden, there is not the ability of Christ. It's the ability of what's going to take place already looming in that person's thinking. And God wants that dispelled. If you have a thinking that when your eyes open in the morning, as you know what I have been saying recently, is the last verse of 2 Corinthians, the very last verse. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I start my day with that. I usually end my day with that. I think on it throughout the day because I know that the favor of God is upon my life because of Jesus Christ. His grace is upon me. And that grace was displayed in the love of God demonstrated in Jesus Christ, and I know that he has a great love toward me. And because I am saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, I also have the fellowship or the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and I'm always open to his fellowship throughout the day and throughout the night. Okay? So I know there's a grace, I know that there's a love, and I know that there's a fellowship of God always present with me. Do you have the same belief? See, this is a belief. I know that God's favor is upon me. I know that God's love is upon me. I know that there's a fellowship I have with God by the Holy Spirit taking place all the time. Now, some of you may say, well, I don't yet have that. Paul left that as a benediction or the closing of 2 Corinthians so that everybody who reads it can say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So that when you do open up your eyes in the morning, you're not saying, oh my gosh, what am I going to face here today? If you are already facing the day with negativity, if you're already facing the day that it's going to be a downer, I guarantee it to be a downer. Because that's faith. It's the wrong kind of faith, but it's still faith. It's faith in it's not going to be a good day. It's faith in this person's probably going to give me a hard time, like he does every day. It doesn't mean when a person gives you a hard time, that it really has to be a hard time to you. Just because somebody's trying to impose something upon you doesn't mean you have to receive their imposition. There should be a life, a reality within you that's greater than the opposing force that is trying to come upon you, or like I said earlier, the spirit of disillusionment, to already get you disillusioned or having a wrong vision about the day. Having a wrong vision about what's going to take place. A disillusion. Amen? So you can apply the word of God. If you catch yourself tomorrow morning, if you catch yourself, or however your alarm goes off, or if you even have alarm, some of you just say, I wake up. Well, however it is that you wake up, what are some of the first thoughts that come to mind about the day? And you'll tell if you're in faith, or if you've already started in disillusionment. And then if you are in disillusionment, you need to cancel out right away. Wait a second here. Let me go to that last verse in 2 Corinthians. Let me just go ahead and see what Mark was talking about. Is it really there? You know, there's a lot of things that I may say, and if you don't get in there and check it out for yourself, is it really there? 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the favor of the Lord Jesus Christ, the favor of the one who is what? Lord. 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 What does it mean for Jesus to be Lord? Who is Jesus Lord over? Put it this way, who is he not Lord over? See, if you'll take your time and just stop for a moment and look at a verse, the grace, the favor of God. I've got the favor. I told somebody the other day, I've got a book at home. It's called Fog. And I just looked at someone the other day, or I asked a question to somebody. I said, are you in the fog today? They're like, what are you talking about? Am I in the fog? F-O-G, favor of God. I'm in the fog today. How about you? And that fog that I'm in is because Jesus is what? Lord, and he is Christ. He has done it all, and he's over all. Amen? And as the result of that, the Word of God says, when I received the Holy Spirit, and I believe it's in Romans chapter 5, the love of God was dispensed. The King James Version says shed abroad or dispensed throughout my whole being. I've been saturated with the love of God. I may not feel like I'm loved, but God's love dwells within me. I have to acknowledge that which I have been dispensed, what I've been given. And I choose to believe that God's love permeates my being. Hopefully we're going to look at a little bit of that later. Communion or fellowship, it's the Greek word koinonia. The koinonia of the Holy Ghost. See that last part there? Who is not included in that? Now, we know that he's writing to the church at Corinth, but can we also believe that Paul also meant that when he wrote that by the Holy Spirit, it would be for all believers who read this? So if it was for them, is it also for you? And the answer is yes. Do you believe that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is toward everybody? Do you believe the love of the Father is toward everybody? Do you believe that God wants each person to have the Holy Spirit and enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? So you can say this for yourself every day, or have some sort of an understanding that God is in charge, not the circumstances. Amen? So last week, we started looking at a title or at a subject about miracles, a miracle in the house, a miracle in the house. And 2 weeks ago, I asked a question from Mark chapter 10. After the rich man went away grievous because he had great riches, because Jesus told the rich man to go and sell everything that he had and give it to the poor, and so he'll have treasure in heaven, and take up his cross and follow me. And it says in Matthew 10:22, the result of what Jesus said to the rich young man, or to the rich young ruler, verse 22 was the response. But he was sad at his word and went away grieved, distressed, heavy, sorrowful, because he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said, and we talked about this, as it says, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus goes on and explains what he meant, or what he said in verse 24. Children, how hard it is for those who trust. In other words, it's not having riches, it's for those who put their trust. And I believe one translation says, in uncertain riches, to enter the kingdom of God. And then remember what their response was in verse 26, is what we looked at a couple weeks ago. It says, and they were astonished beyond measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And by the time we got done with that, I asked you, who then can be saved? As you know, it's that Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O, which means who then can be delivered? Who then can be healed? Who then can be rescued? Who then can be brought to a place of safety and protection in the Lord? And the answer is anybody can. Anybody can. So what looks like it's an impossibility, as Jesus talked about a camel going through the eye of a needle, as it's impossible for a camel to go through an eye of a needle, so is it for a rich man or a person who trusts in their riches to enter the kingdom of God. And so what he is letting us know, he's speaking to us and he's speaking to each and every one of us and asking us the question, which we answered then, if our eyes are upon him, then there's nothing impossible with God. Because when they cried out, who then can be saved, what was their response? Or what was Jesus' response? They cried out to Jesus, who then can be saved? He says, with man, it's what? impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So where does the vision need to be? Where does the sight need to be? Where does the heart need to be? It needs to be on God, okay? In order for it to be on God, you got to know what God's word says, okay? In other words, it's one thing to say, my eyes are on God, but what word do you have backing God? You see, it's important that God, you must know that God left us that Bible, whether it be in physical print or digital print that you have before you. God left us his word. So we know God by what his word says. And that's how it keeps us on track. It keeps us from error. It keeps us from saying the wrong thing. If the word says it, then we believe it. Not what we think it says. You know what? It says, let everything be established in the mouth of what? Two or three witnesses. So usually if someone's going to teach me something or show me something in the word, I want to see it twice. I want to see it confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. God has ordained that to be the truth. Okay? So God will show us what it says in his word, and he will confirm it. And what I also love is confirmation, which is really neat, the supernatural aspect of it, is like Karen said something at the end of intercessory prayer today about running through a troop and climbing over a wall. And during intercessory prayer, that passage of scripture came up to me, and then Karen said it at the end. I thought, oh, that's really cool, because that passage came to me. Out of all the passages for her to speak and share, the confirmation came when it came out of her mouth at the end of intercessory prayer. It doesn't matter how big the troop is or how big the army is or how big the enemy is. It doesn't matter how high the wall is or how thick the wall is. Believe you me, if so-called Superman can jump over a tall building, believers in Jesus can what? Surpass anything, any obstacle that they have faced, because Jesus faced them all and he overcame them all, and now that life dwells within you. Amen? So actually, if you really want to know, we are all supermen and women in Jesus Christ. So, and we walk around like, what, Clark Kent? But we don't show off. Hallelujah. We let God show off. Amen. And so we took our time and answered that question. And so we saw from Scripture that salvation is for everyone, that God has healing for each person, God has deliverance for each person, that no matter what a person finds themselves in, no matter what where they have allowed themselves to come in bondage to. Any of you ever been in bondage to anything? Where it spoke to you louder than what God speaks? That in Jesus Christ, there is freedom from every bondage. It even speaks of light versus darkness. That no matter the area that we're dark in, we can be illuminated by God's truth. It talks about being brought to a place of safety and protection and provision. Do you believe that God wants you in a safe place, protected and provided for? You see, all what Jesus Christ did is for the whole person, spirit, soul, and body. He did it for the whole person. So no matter where you may be today or somebody you know today, whatever may be controlling them, Jesus conquered, and their purchase and their victory has been purchased. Their freedom has been purchased in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we've been looking at this. So I asked you last week if Jesus was in the house. And I got that passage from Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he, speaking of Jesus, was in the house. Now, all of us that have been in the Word of God any length of time, the Word of God calls us in Ephesians chapter 2 a habitation of God in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about us being what? A temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about us being the temple of the Holy Spirit. So my question to you today, is Jesus in the house? And we should all be able to say what? Yes, that Jesus is in my house. God dwells in me. We heard it this morning also. did we not, in communion? Jesus dwells within me. Do you believe that after you're saved and been filled with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit has come up and take residence within you? And because we believe this, then we need to learn to rely and trust in the presence of God that dwells within us. And the Word of God says that He will bring all things to our remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So God will confirm His Word. Hello? That's why I've got such a written up Bible. I love this Bible. How about you? I love it when God speaks. I love it when God reveals. I love it when I'm able to open up a word and go to the original language and find out the full meaning of that word. I'll give you an example. A lot of places in the Old Testament where it talks about peace. One word to cover the whole word peace. Does it mean more than just peace? Well, the Hebrew word shalom speaks of the entire welfare of the entire being, which peace is just one part of the welfare that God has for us. It talks about a spiritual welfare, a mental welfare. It talks about a physical welfare. It talks about you being completely taken care of and provided for by God. Shalom. Like I told you before, I grew up with a Jewish family. From birth, I've known this family. When you walked into their house, they would say shalom to you. When you left, they would say shalom. Here they were blessing us with health, peace, prosperity, wellness, that everything that we have would be blessed. What a, in one word. But our English language, you know how thick our Bible would be if the true definition of every word that we needed to have the understanding of was translated? It'd be a very thick Bible. That's why it's important for you to get out of Strong's Concordance and open it up and find out the full, true meaning of what God's Word has to say. Amen? Okay. Just like you hear me say the word sozo for the word saved. Saved. It's important to look it up because when Jesus said for a person, which is it easier for me to say, for your sins to be forgiven or for you to rise up and be healed? Sozo. So it's translated, is also translated the word healed. In another place, it's translated the word delivered. In another place, it's translated the word rescue. And so you have this full, rich Greek word, sozo, that the Lord is trying to communicate to us that He has purchased, Jesus has purchased, with His sacrificial blood sacrifice on the cross, everything that the total body would need. Spirit, soul, and body, all the way to a resurrected body in the future, a body just like Jesus. So when you find yourself in a place of lack, or you find yourself in a place of need, or you find your brain going in a direction that it shouldn't be going, any of you ever have destructive thought patterns or thoughts that you shouldn't have? Jesus' salvation has also secured the right for you to have God thoughts. God thoughts. So don't ever condemn yourself when it starts getting off track. And don't start beating yourself up. Say, no, that's not a God thought. That's not the way that God would have me look at this situation. Because I know by Jesus' life and Jesus' example, by what the Word of God says, that is not God's thought that He has for me. And therefore, I choose what this says to be God's thought for me. And you find out what God's Word is, and you change that thought or replace that thought with what God's Word has to say. That's why it's important to be reading this on a daily basis. How many of you had something to eat or drink before you came to church today? I know some of you aren't breakfast people, but most everybody. Nobody had anything to eat or drink today. Wow. Okay, we find ourselves feeding our bodies, and we have probably one meal that we like more than other meals that we really like to eat. Some of you are grazers, a little bit here and a little bit there, but you probably have something every day, right? We make sure we nourish our spirit man, I mean our physical man, but what would our spirit man look like if it could manifest today? If you could, like, if your physical person was here and you take care of it and you stood up here and your spirit person was to somehow have a shape beside you and look the way that you feed it, what would it look like today? Would it be strong and robust and, I'm hungry? But see, I'm not saying this to condemn you. I'm saying this to encourage you. Feed your spirit, man. Renew your mind. Get into God's word. If it's a struggle, guess what? It's warfare. But oh, how sweet it is when you do. I mean, just open it up knowing, God, what is it you want to speak to me today? What is it you want to reveal to me about yourself? What is it you want to show me? Go in asking questions. You go in asking questions, you will get answers. Amen? Okay, so we looked at that a little bit about who's in the house. Amen? And I think we ended with 2 Kings. Let's go to 2 Kings. I ended with this question, and hopefully we'll pick it up from here. 2 Kings chapter 4. Anybody know what Elisha means? Remember, Elisha was the one who took Elijah's place. Eli is for Elohim, and what does Elohim mean? God, okay? Shah, what is Shah from? Shah is from Yeshua, okay? So Eli, Shah, means God is salvation. God is salvation. Now, if we look at the New Testament, who is salvation in the New Testament? Jesus is salvation. Amen? Is not Jesus our Savior? Doesn't the Old Testament tell us in Isaiah there's only one Savior, and that Savior is what? God. So Jesus has to be God also. God the Son. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There is no Savior, as it tells us in Isaiah, there is no Savior besides God. Remember in, I think it's in John chapter 4, when Jesus went to Samaria, and there was a woman there at the well, and after she left her water pot and ran back into the town to share all these things that this Messiah revealed to her, and it says that the whole town came out. And this is what their conclusion was after Jesus had stayed there a couple days, and this is their testimony about who Jesus is. And let me just read this one verse to you. John 4. I'll read 3 verses. Begin at verse 40. When the Samaritans had come to him, come to Jesus, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. In other words, that which Jesus shared and communicated with them over this 2-day period. Verse 42. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this indeed is the Christ or the Messiah or the one promised to come and deliver Israel. That this is the Christ. And who else is he? The Savior of the world. Well, when you have when a person says that he's the Savior of the world, they're also acknowledging him as God, because the scripture reference for that, if I may find it, it's in Isaiah 43, verse 11. It says, this is Jehovah speaking of the Old Testament, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. So for these people to speak out of their mouth that Jesus is the promised Christ, that he is the promised deliverer, and that you are the Savior of the world, they were also acknowledging Jesus as God. Wow, that's a big thing to do, wasn't it? Okay, so when you acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, you're also acknowledging that Jesus Christ is God the Son in human flesh, now resurrected, with a resurrected body, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he is present there right now. 2 Kings chapter 4. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take away and to take my 2 sons to be his slaves. You know that we are considered a debtor nation. How high is the national debt up right now? $21 trillion. If that was to be called in, the nation would just simply collapse. In order to have a $21 trillion debt, the government has to borrow from those that will be paying taxes in the future. And in the future, in the future, so they say by this X amount of years, 10 years from now, this amount of people will be here in the United States, and this amount of people here will be paying taxes, so we'll borrow from that. And we'll borrow from that on and on and on. Now, having said that, do any of you, I don't want to see a show of hands, have consumer debt? And I'm sure there's a lot of people here with consumer debt, meaning I'm talking about credit card debt or... Please don't go down to these places like AmScot or these payday things and take money out, okay? If you're having to live off credit cards and you're only paying the minimum balance, there's a problem. And God wants to help you solve that problem. God never intended for us to live off credit cards. I love credit cards when the debt is paid, the balance is paid every month. Because when credit card companies lose on people like Christine and myself, because of all these little bonus things that they offer, I'm talking free dinners, I'm talking about these, we rake it in from the credit card companies. Now, be careful that you know, as the commercial says, what's in your wallet. And do you know how to control it? Because there are some people that don't know how to control it. And after weeks and months and even years, the balance continues to skyrocket because of compounding interest. Hello? Right? Miss a payment. Miss a payment. You might have signed up for this card. I love these cards that are 6, 7, 8%. Aren't they great? You know? I don't ever need it, but they're great. But the fine print says miss a payment and it jumps up to 23.9%. And so, I forgot. You don't forget 23.9% interest. And then all of a sudden you're in a category where you can't pay the thing back now. God wants to help you become your supply. God wants you to show you how to live a life and live it in its fullness. If you're having to live off credit cards, then it's not God's will for your life, unless you can pay that balance. As one guy says, as you know, the financial person I really like listening to is Dave Ramsey. I mean, he's got some really good points on finances. If you want to listen to somebody, there's also another guy, I've only heard his program a couple times, Fixing the Money Thing, Gary Cassie. And there's also a place out in Georgia, Crown Financial. It used to be Larry Burkett, but he's gone on to be home with the Lord. I liked surrounding myself with people who understood finances and taught me kingdom principles about finances and live according to those principles. As you know, I got into debt one time, and I didn't want to find myself like this woman found herself. She was in a situation having two sons or two children, and the husband, something tragic came up. You ever have a disruption in your pay? They say that most Americans live, what, from paycheck to paycheck, and if both are working and there's a disruption in one of their pays, that they can't usually pay the bills because they have nothing set aside, that if one just happens not to be there, the husband dies. She's not able to pay. And guess what they're doing? Okay, you'll pay your debt. We're going to go ahead and enslave your two boys, and they're going to work off the debt that you owe. So she's going to Elisha, who, the Lord, or the God of salvation, I need help. If you find yourself in debt, if you find yourself in debt financially, if you find yourself in debt by your health, how many of you, your health isn't where it needs to be today? How many of you find yourself a deficit in peace? How many of you find yourself facing something and like, oh my gosh, I just don't see how I'm going to get through this? It doesn't matter what the debt is. Jesus paid the debt. Jesus not just paid the debt, he paid the fine. And Jesus also made a promise and a provision to get you out of it. But you've got to come to a place to hear what he has to say, and at times his word can be very strong to you, what he needs to minister to you to get you out of that situation. Amen? But we can follow his advice. We can follow his advice. We can follow what the word of God has to say and get out of the situation that we might presently find ourselves in. See, the salvation of Jesus is for the entire person, as you've heard me say. And when you realize that he's made a provision, not just for your spirit, not just to say that I'm going to make it to heaven, but he wants to bring in, he wants you to be prosperous. As Paul said, I believe what's in, is it in Acts 20? Freely you have received, freely give. God allows, Tiffany, Deuteronomy chapter 8. How many of you have heard this promise? Power to get what? How many have heard that promise? I got a promise book at home. I should have brought it in. And it talks about finances. And it has this verse in there. So anytime that a promise book has a verse, I like to go read the context of the verse. How about you? And it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, and you shall remember that the Lord your God, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power or the ability, the strength and the wisdom and the desire, that word power, ability, strength, wisdom, and the desire to gain or obtain wealth. Okay? Did you hear what I just said? Okay? And then after that, you see three dots, dot, dot, dot. See, a lot of times, promise books focus only on the part you want to hear. Why does excess come into my life? Well, we have a fund. We like to put money aside. I'm one who likes to put money aside because things break. We live in a world where things break. So I want to be able to have some money aside so if something breaks, I can go ahead and pay for it on the credit card but have the cash at hand to pay it off. So I basically become the bank, okay? So you can actually become your own bank. So God, there's nothing wrong with savings. There's nothing wrong with investing. Oh, let me say one word about investing. Do you know who or how your money's invested? Whether it be in stocks, whether it be in bonds, whether it be in mutual funds, annuities, do you know where they're investing your money? Because where they're investing your money, you're also a partaker of what they're investing in. So you need to do your due diligence to see where your money's being invested, because it may be for abortion. It may be for the tobacco industry. Wherever money is being made, you want to make sure that your money's being invested in areas that are God-honoring. And so you need to search out who is investing your money and with whom are they putting your money in. You might be getting a great return doing the devil's work. So it's important that you ask questions. Well, I don't want to know, Pastor. I had one person. I don't want to know. I'm just getting a good return. You do need to know. It's your responsibility to know. It's your responsibility to look into. Call your financial broker. Call the person that's in charge of your finances. Says, you know, I'm getting a really great return and I like what you're doing. But how's this money growing and what are the names of the company? And then you do the research on the names of the companies where the money's being invested. Because why would I want my money invested that I'm getting return on works of darkness or that which is not in agreement with God? Because you're a partaker of it whether you realize it or not. So it's up to you to ask the questions. Just because you put your head in the sand and you don't want to know, you got your head in the sand with a hand out like this, like, oh, I don't want to see where it's coming from because I like the return. Remember always what's sticking up. And it ends up getting kicked. And sometimes you start saying, well, what's going on here? It seems like there's a hole in my finances. Things aren't going right. Do your due diligence. Amen? See, these are just wise things that all of us should know. And you should want to know where it's being invested and how the money's being made. Amen? Okay, got a little quiet here, but if I'm stepping on some toes, that's okay. Why? Because I want you to be blessed. I want you to experience the goodness that God has for you in the land of the living. And if it requires you to find out where that money's being, where that money's growing and how you're getting such a great return, then go ahead and do it and make the necessary changes that honor God. Amen? Okay. If you're not there yet, well, God will help you get there. But the three dots at the end of this, it goes on to say, it says, let me just read the verse to you again. Verse 18, Deuteronomy chapter 8, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives power or the ability, wisdom, strength, and desire to get wealth that he may establish his covenant. Did you hear that? That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. When excess comes into my life, Lord God, what do you want me to do with this excess? How much of this do you want me to set aside? Is there somebody that needs to be blessed because there's an excess that comes into my life? And I'm just not talking about immediate family members. Okay? You can always tell if you are free from selfishness when you can give to someone expecting nothing in return. Didn't Jesus say that's who we're supposed to buy dinner for? Is that who we're supposed to bless? See, it's easy to bless those that we love. Jesus said even the sinners do that. And what thank have you then? But if the Lord begins, as the Lord spoke to my heart many years ago about paying somebody's mortgage, and I said, well, this person's very successful. I started going through all my complaints with God. This person was in an industry, I'll just say they were in the real estate industry, and they live in very prosperous, they have a great car, they got a great home, and so why, God, would you want me to give X amount of money to this individual when everything is going okay? I was kvetching. I didn't get an answer. You know what the answer was? I told you to give. Lord, and I started going back and forth with God. And so he said, don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. So he didn't want me to give it through the church and give it through the church so they can write a check and put on their love gift and and go to them. He said, go give it to brother so-and-so, and you tell Bill to give it to Bill, and then tell Bill to give it to Ruth, and have Ruth give it to the person. I was like, that's definitely not knowing what the left hand's doing. So when the person says, where did it originate from? I don't have any idea where it originated from. I just know that somebody gave it to me to give to you that they got from somebody else. Because God didn't want the person to know where it originated from. 2 weeks later, the person stands up and gives a testimony. You know, it appears that all of our bills are paid. It appears that everything's going great because we live in a nice house and drive a nice car. But the houses weren't selling. And they had no income. And we did not know how we were going to pay our mortgage. And somebody gave the amount that was needed, plus a tithe, that was needed to pay the mortgage. So it wasn't just the mortgage, that they were actually able to tithe off that and still have money left over to pay the mortgage. Isn't that pretty cool? So don't question God when he's speaking to your heart about it. You might say, well, wonder if I miss. Wonder if I get it wrong. God sees your heart. And he will reward you. I mean, there's been some people, how many, remember the guys with the signs on the street? You don't see them as much as you used to. But when God tells me to give to them, I give. At times, God will say, go to the store and buy what they need. Because a lot of times, they don't want what they're saying. As you've heard me say, the guy who said he wanted some diapers and formula for his baby. I said, great, hop in the car, let's go. So he jumps in the car. And we're going down the store so I could buy some diapers and formula for the baby. We just get a little bit around here down the corner right before US 19. Stop the car! Stop the car! I need to get out of here. I don't need any blankety blank diapers or formula. I want the money. I said, you're not getting the money. I'll buy you the diapers. I'll buy you the formula like you said you wanted. But I'm not giving you the money. Because more than not, they're going to want to use it for what? Their problem that they have. And a person will do, they'll give you whatever story that they can give you to get the money that they need to supply the habit that they're involved in. Amen? And so you have to be wise when you're giving also. Amen? So it says to establish his covenant. So God wants your life blessed. He wants your future to be blessed. And he also wants his work to be blessed. And he uses you in doing it. I had no idea this was the direction we're going today. And if you can say amen, say amen. If you can't, then come up here and get some prayer. Because I had to work through that. And so when we go back here to 2 Kings, and we see that she had a debt, it was a creditor after her. You know, I tell you, if you blow it one time, you're going to feel like the devil's on your back. He's going to bring up every single time. Any time that you blow it, look where you blew it. Deficit. Oh, you said you love Jesus? Look what you just did. Deficit. He's always going to try to bring up the condemnation part on your behalf. He's always going to try to make you feel a lot less than who you are in Jesus Christ. He's always going to come to a place and point out, oh, you call yourself spiritual, you call yourself a child of God, you call yourself blessed to the Lord, look what you're doing. He's always going to point out where you're lacking or you're in debt or where God isn't yet established. You have to realize that. You have to realize that the enemy is going to come after the areas in your life that are not spiritually developed yet, or you don't know the word of God in that area, or the promise of God hasn't become real to you in that area, and he wants to make it real to you. But he will come up and always pounce you on that area. Listen to me, husbands and wives. Be careful you don't pounce on one another when there's a spiritual deficit within your spouse's life. Brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, because someone is struggling, be careful that you don't point a finger or put a finger in their wound. Okay? We're really good at times of the wrong kind of wound care. When someone is bleeding and they're cut, you don't go like this. Okay? It says that he's Jehovah Rapha. He'll give you a word. And I tell you, when sutures go in, they don't always feel good. I've been stitched up so many times, I don't even want to tell you how many times I've been stitched up. And they don't feel good. But oh, the healing that they bring. So God will have a word that will come from you that may just prick the heart, but at the same time will heal the wound. And a lot of times, well, you know what you said and you know what you did, and we have a tendency to make it worse than better. Amen? And God does not want us to be like that. Okay? So when a person is experiencing a deficit, when they have experienced failure, when life isn't going as they think it should be going, when life becomes hard and life becomes a challenge, like I said earlier, you're not wanting to wake up in the morning or face the day that you can't wake up in the morning. What was that verse again? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That is how we should be able to meet the day. That is how we should be able to meet life, by God's grace, God's love, and God's abiding fellowship within our lives, to always know that this is the truth. And there's still so much more that he wants to reveal to each and every one of us. Because the creditors will come. The enemy will come. And it says that the enemy, it says in Isaiah chapter 59, that the enemy comes in like a flood. But it says that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. The Spirit of God will reveal something to you that Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, has done on our behalf to cancel out the tidal wave. Because it's big when it comes. It's big. Like, how in the world can this situation ever change? I got myself. Any of you ever got yourself in a mess that you couldn't get out of? Are you in the mess today? Well, some of you might be in the mess today. I've been in messes after messes after messes. And I tell you what, God is good. God is good. God is good. Amen. And so she is asking for something. And we left off last week with this question here that the prophet Elisha asked her. Remember, God is salvation, pointing out that Jesus Christ is our salvation. Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you?" Do you have any specifics that you've been believing for? Do you know, are there certain areas that you need answers in? And the next question is, have you been specific to God about them? Have you been specific in your prayers? What shall I do for you? If Jesus was just to ask you something about something you're facing today, what do you want me to do for you? What would your response be to Jesus today? And then he goes on here to say, Elisha's still speaking, "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in this house but a jar of oil." nothing in this house but a jar of oil. All I have is I'm saved and spirit-filled. That's more than enough. See, she needed some resources that were going to pay the debt that she owed. And so the prophet says, go to your neighbors, go to your friends, and ask for some empty vessels. Empty vessels, and bring not a few. He says, just bring as many as you can gather. And the cool thing about this is, the thing that you're going through is what other people are going through. And you know what? Your little jar of oil can be the answered prayer to somebody's empty vessel. Because as you invest yourself in what you have in other people's lives, because what was she told to do? She was told to go get those empty vessels and bring them in and do what? Go borrow vessels, verse 3, from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels, do not gather just a few. And when you come in, you shall shut the door behind you. Do you know any other verse in the New Testament talks about going in and shutting the door behind you? It's when Jesus is making reference to prayer. Come in, and you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour into all these vessels and set aside the full ones. Now, if she just has, I don't know, let's say it was a quart of olive oil, and she has, I don't know, it says to get as many as she could, so let's just say this was her living room right here, this front part of the church here, and she had empty vessels lining everywhere, and that she was able to take that one quart of oil, and there's a gallon vessel there, and she begins pouring. And it doesn't stop pouring. And goes to the next one, and goes to the next one, and goes to the next one, until every single vessel that she collected was full from what just appeared to be a quart of oil. You see, we serve a God that is more than enough. And God was trying to get her eyes on, yes, I'm going to supply this, and you're going to be able to sell this, and you're going to even have some left over. God is just letting her know, I'm still God. I am still God. What is it you have in your house? Jesus asked his disciples one time, what do we have here to eat? A couple fish, a few loaves of bread. What was that? What was that to feed a multitude? All God needed what you have. All God needs is your life. If you're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, he has already met the need, but he just doesn't want to meet your need. He wants to meet other people's needs. Remember the promise from Deuteronomy chapter 8. He's given us the ability to get wealth, just not pay off your debt, but to minister and help other people also. We have to get our eyes on the larger picture. If you have a need, or if you have a lack, somebody else has a need, somebody else has a lack. God wants to meet your need, God wants to meet their need, and also have enough left over for you and your sons for the future. So God is all about taking care of you now, all about paying off what needs to be paid off, all about supplying to those who have empty vessels, and also wants to help provide for your future. You see, this is the God we serve here, everyone. And God is trying to get us a picture, and I'm going to take it one step further before I close. Look around. We'd call this a small assembly, right? And the Lord has put upon my heart to share some messages concerning taking up the mantle, vessels of the Lord. And at times, the picture that we have for the Christian Service Center is make disciples of all nations, is a Bible training center that is being put back on the burner where it needs to be, and to get people discipled and taught the Word of God that they can teach others also. Go wherever's needed to do whatever's needed. And God was telling me, Mark, this isn't just, I'm just not talking about physical needs here. There's enough with inside the house to do what needs to be done. Work with everybody that you have. A lot of times, well, we need a person for this or we need a person for that. God can develop hidden talents that are within your lives. As long as we're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and if you're hearing what I have to say, God's pouring into you even right now. God's pouring into you areas of service that he has called you to. areas in which he wants to anoint you for. You see, there's more than enough with inside this house. See, I've gone aside and I've shut the door and I've prayed to God who's in secret. And my God tells me that when I shut the door and pray to him who's in secret, he's going to answer openly. And he's going to answer lavishly and he's going to answer abundantly. But we cannot be looking, well, Lord God, we're lacking this, so bring him in. No, God wants to use right now what's in the house. What do you have within the house? I look around right here and I say, there's enough with inside this house. And if he needs to bring in other vessels, and he will, he'll bring in other vessels that are empty, that are needing the truth that you have. God is going to allow empty vessels to cross your life because you're saved and you're filled with God's Spirit and you're being taught God's Word, and some of you are established in the Word of God, and he wants that word released from your life into another empty vessel's life. To fill another vessel, to fill another vessel, to fill another vessel. And you can't look to just one person or the pastor or the leader to do everything, because I can't. I need you. I need every one of you. And the enemy is trying to get us to accept a word as your deficit. Your deficit, you're lacking. My response after reading this, I may be lacking, we may be deficit, only to be filled with the fullness of God. So if there's any lack going on, it's just an opportunity to get filled and run over with what God has for our lives. Like I said, once we start this Bible school up again, I'm going to need help. I can't do it alone. I'm going to need people to come in and set up equipment. I'm going to need people to watch that equipment. If we need to have another camera down here, I'm going to need operators of cameras. We want to get all of this developed and use the way that the vision that our senior pastor had, but so much larger and so much bigger. We're going to add to the vision, and I'm going to be unpacking what that is, and I'm going to need everybody on board that wants to be on board. If you don't, that's okay, but those who will be filled and will be used. Amen? Because we're part of a body, and God is going to use us to get things done. As we heard from Pastor Joshua Goodman, he said, don't say that you're just a small church. Don't just say that there's just a little over 100 people here. He says, what was deposited in my dad that has been deposited in me has been taken all around this world. Most of you don't know that Emory Goodman took the basic 1, 2, and 3 and advanced 1, 2, and 3 and added some of his own courses to it and put them in book form. And he have three workbooks, 1, 2, and 3 workbooks, and has had translated in all these different languages. And he went through all, especially through China. And you should hear some of Emory's stories when he took this Bible course that we started with here. And he took it into China, and he had to ditch the guy that was assigned to him, and to get in a car and go somewhere where he had no idea where he was going to teach the Word of God to the underground church in China. He had to do a lot of answering after he came back and was reunited with his so-called guide that he ditched. But he knew that he knew he needed to get there. And he told me one time, he says, Mark, this Bible course that was taught to me, I've taught it in Haiti, I've taught it in Santo Domingo. He says, God allowed me to have a church right next door, Fayetteville, North Carolina. What's the base right next to Fayetteville? It's an Army base, right? Fort Bragg? Is it Fort Bragg? And he says, all these guys in the Army come in and they go out, come in and go out, come in and go out, getting taught the Word of God, leave, get taught the Word of God and leave. He said, it has spread over the entire world. From a little church here, as Pastor Bill called this place, a safe place on the side of the road. And having this teaching extend to the far reaches of the earth. We're not done yet, folks. We have to take up the torch. And this is the picture God gave me. God showed me a torch, and it was a good-sized torch. But it wasn't just one hand holding it. The passing of the torch, I saw every one of your hands on the torch. It's a body effort. It's a body effort. It's just not one person standing out front and everybody else behind. No, I saw all these hands coming around and putting their hand on the torch. And so we have to realize that even if it looks like there's a deficit, and even if the enemy is hounding at your feet, and even if he's trying to show you that there's a lack with inside your life or all these problems that you're facing, I'm letting you know that there's a blessing about to be poured into your life. But it's as you pour. Remember, she had one vessel of oil. And as she gave of her oil, every vessel was filled. And he said to her, "And collect just not a few." So that speaks to me about an unlimited God that wants to work through your life. Amen? Father God, we thank you for some of these things you've been speaking to our heart about. And the direction, Lord God, that you have been made, you're making very clear. We have been given the riches of your word, Lord God. And you're saying there's empty vessels everywhere around us, Lord. And you might think that it's just a small thing that you have received. But as you pour, it will fill every vessel. And so we thank you, Lord God, as the enemy has tried to get us to look on our lack, you cause us to focus on your abundance. And so we thank you, Father. We will not be stopped. We will not be withheld. Lord God, I want the vision. We want the vision to be so large, so huge, so mega, that when people hear of it, they're going to say, "That's impossible." And that's what I want said, Lord God. Because it's only going to be by you that's going to be done. If we have small vision, it's only going to accomplish small things. But I want all these empty vessels, as many empty vessels as you can show us, Lord God. There's another one. There's another one. There's another one. There's another one. Filled with you, Lord God. Filled with the fullness of you, Jesus. Filled with your word that their lives are so transformed from the inside out that they glow with you, Jesus. That they shine with you. That they're listening. There's a fellowship they have with the Holy Spirit because the love of God has been made real to them, all because of your grace demonstrated through Jesus Christ. And so we thank you, Father, for this. Thank you, Father, for all those here, that there's enough with inside the house to get started what we need, Lord God, and every vessel that comes in, you will fill, Lord. And so when the enemy has tried to point out the littleness or the smallness or the debt, we can all say the debt has been paid and Jesus Christ came to give us life and give it to us in fullness. And that's the only thing what we're going to settle for is what the Word of God has to say. And we're going to follow you, Lord God, all the way till our last breath. In Jesus' name, amen.